You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM on this, the 7th of September, this lovely Thursday. Episode 181 this week brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. Now, young Mark, one of the biggest things that's happened in our hobby as of late is the announcement of Twilight Imperium 4th Edition.
Yes.
Coming out. It's a big, bad, nasty game that everyone loves and is looking forward to. Now, Fantasy Flight are the designers of that. They also own the Star Wars license as well.
Yes.
And it seems fairly obvious to me that a game like that, that warrants lots of different expansions, lots of different alien races, that you'd think sooner or later there's going to be a Star Wars one.
I actually thought that might have even happened with the 4th Edition.
There was talk about that. Yeah. But you've got to think now, it's probably just going to be an expansion, which is cool. You get to, if you wanted it or not, you could play as, you know, you could play as your Wookiees, you could play as your Ewoks, you could play as whatever the hell the Jar Jar yes. thing is. Seems like a no-brainer. So anybody that plays those type of games probably thinks...
And the
probably,
Naboo.
Yeah, and probably is into Star Wars and thinks, I want that expansion as well. Mm-hmm. It seems like a logical thing to do. So anybody else who isn't into sci-fi board games or isn't into board games at all probably couldn't care less, right?
Yes, I agree.
So you've got the two different people. You've got the people that think, this is a great idea, let's do it, and the other people that couldn't care less. So the logical thing would be to just go, right, well, let's just do it. Let's flip the switch and let's get it done.
Yes.
But what we're going to do instead of that, just for a laugh, is we're going to spend millions of dollars sending out letters to everybody and getting to vote in the mail whether this is a good idea or not. Do you think that's a solid idea?
No.
No? It's a rather silly idea, isn't it?
It's a very silly idea.
Because it's almost like something that most people want, and everyone else who has nothing to do with it, they don't really care, so why should they really have a say in the beginning?
Yes, I totally agree.
There you go. That's my crack at being political. I'll never do it again because I don't understand politics, but that is ridiculous. Either way, welcome, everybody.
Welcome to the Dice Men Cometh. Now, Leon?
Yes.
I have a feeling it's episode 180.
No, it's 81. Because last week I went 180.
But when you put up the episode today, it said 179, didn't it?
No, it said 180. Oh. Are you questioning my editing skills?
Well, anyway, it's the 7th of September. We're here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with myself, Mark.
180.
And
told you.
And you, Leon.
That is me indeed.
For episode 181 of The Dice Men Cometh. And
yes.
What are we going to talk about, Leon?
Well, we've got a few different what we've been playings of late, which, of course, we've definitely played them in the last couple of weeks. We didn't just play them at BorderCon at all. And you've got some new Kickstarter news lined up.
Oh, there's a few of those.
As well as all just the general fun and games happening in the board gaming world.
We've also got our competition.
Yes,
one
indeed.
More week to go on that.
Yes.
All of that proudly presented by our sponsors of this week, Area 52.
Yes.
Our friendly local gaming store. Get in there for all your board games, card games, comics, manga, which is another form of comic.
Give or take,
really into
yes.
manga.
It's backwards, though, quite literally.
Pop culture and
yeah.
all that sort of stuff. We will be back in a minute to talk all about board games.
Yeah. It's a riveting end to that song. So that was the Australian act, The Drones, with the song Boredom on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with The Dice Men Cometh this week. Proud to be brought to you by our friendly neighbourhood store, Area 52. Go in there and see Schwartz and all his pals. They will sort you out, no problem. Now, young Mark.
Yes?
What have we been playing lately?
So we've played a few games lately, but look, firstly we should point out, I think, that Leon,
yes.
you and I are sitting here in a studio.
Yes.
That chair's empty.
Yes, it's been a kind of a habit of late.
That chair's empty as well,
yeah.
just because that's a spare chair.
Yep.
But there's only the two of us here because we don't have Trent.
No.
Not sure why.
No.
We don't have Garth.
No.
Not sure why.
No.
So we were all keyed up to talk about the hotness
yep.
that is This War of Mine.
Yes.
And then they piked out of the show and we thought
yeah.
we really want to keep that one for another day because... There's so much to talk about with that game.
It is a very meaty game and it's worth a very long conversation.
It's something that we've been anticipating eagerly for a long time.
Mm.
So what I thought I would do is I would reflect on a game that I played at BorderCon with Garth and a couple of other guys.
Yep.
That I hadn't mentioned yet on the show. And it's one I haven't heard, or I hadn't heard anything about it before I was at BorderCon.
Yep.
I haven't heard a lot about it since. And that is a game called Hit Z-Road by Martin Wallace. Now, firstly, I love, it's got a couple of alternate names. Another alternate English name is Route 666.
Yes.
But the one I really love is called Zombaiki Ameriki.
Well, that doesn't sound English at all.
That's right. So this is by Martin Wallace, formerly of the UK, I think currently living in New Zealand, but I've heard he's actually moving to Australia.
Oh, good lad.
So we'll claim him.
Joining the revolution. Yes, as long as he stays good and does makes good games,
that's
we
right.
will claim him as one of those.
And published by Asmodee. Now, this is part survival game, part horror story, and it has tension and irony in equal measures as you hunt for gas and scavenge for ammo while you're driving along Route 66 in America from one side of the country to the other to survive a zombie apocalypse, of course, as you do.
Well, that's different.
Now, of course, in a zombie apocalypse, you don't have to be the fastest person out there.
No.
You just have to be faster than the people you're with, of course.
Exactly. That's why I hang out with you, lads.
Now, this game. Look, I'm not that fascinated with the mechanics of it. It is, you know, it has bidding, it has player elimination that a lot of people don't like. You roll dice to fight zombies, you use tokens for things like bullets, adrenaline, fuel.
Yep.
I don't really want to go into that much because it's not so fascinating, okay? I mean, it's a great fun game, but this game is like no other game that I've ever seen in the art, the graphic design, and the components.
Cool.
And I'll tell you why.
All right.
So you get the box, and it's got a lovely picture of like a man and a woman driving along in a convertible. It looks like something off a 1950s TV show.
It looks like a Archie comic cover, yeah. Essentially.
And if you look close, it actually says hit the road, but someone has scribbled a Z over top of the word Z.
Yep.
And then where it says, as seen on TV, someone's crossed out the as seen as, and it says, no more TV.
That's quite cool. I didn't notice that before.
And where it says the travel game, someone has crossed off travel and written my zombie game.
Yeah.
So the premise of this is that this person who made this game is basically trying to survive a zombie apocalypse. And so they've got this old board game.
Yeah.
And they've used the box for it to become the box for their personal copy of this post-apocalyptic horror game that they're playing in the post-apocalypse.
It's a very clever idea.
And if you actually flip over on the back of the box, the back of the box is like the original box for that particular game that doesn't reflect anything to do with the zombie game at all. So they've just basically found an old board game box and used that to store their board game in. And then when they've made this game, all the cards in the game, on the back of them, they're just like playing cards.
Ah.
On the front, you see a little bit of the, you know, the Ace of Spades or the Six of Clubs or whatever, but then it's got other art over, sort of stuck over the top of it.
Okay.
And wherever there's symbols for tokens, it's like they're badly stuck on stickers. At least that's what they look like in the graphic design.
That's really, really clever. I did wonder that, especially with the box art. I saw that box art and I saw the Z crossed off the and stuff, and I thought, this gives no indication that it's a zombie game. Surely there'd be some sort of like blood on the car or they'd be holding a gun or something. But now that makes perfect sense with the way you've explained it.
It doesn't stop there because the tokens that you use, they are actually meant to be bottle caps.
Yeah, the old Fallout type thing.
They're not actually bottle caps, but they're like cardboard pictures of bottle caps with the same sort of not really well stuck on stickers inside. So, you know, this person has found an old board game box, a couple of decks of cards from the hotel where they've been staying in, some bottle caps, and basically repurposed all this stuff. Even there's a couple of pointers you use to point to particular cards. They're like old car keys. Although they're cardboard tokens of car keys. So it's basically like this person. A couple of other things. There's some like extra cards that you get at the end of the game for who's got the most of a few different things.
Okay.
They're actually old board game cards, very cleverly repurposed, They're actually cards from Asmodee Games.
So you've
got a Ticket to Ride card in there. You've got a Dixit card, but basically they've been scribbled over and turned into something else.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of cards from some of their other games. You've got some wooden meeples and you've got some dice, but that's about it. But the way it appears that someone has repurposed this game, I just think that's incredibly clever, and it is like nothing I've ever seen in a board game.
Well, yeah. Well, saying the game is about post-apocalyptic, it's about zombies, you go, well, it's been done to death. And you go, no, it's not actually technically about that. It's about somebody in that environment that's decided then to design a board game kind of to tell their tale as opposed to writing it down like a journal. They decided, this is what the world's like now, and we're going to show you. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that this game would probably be played a hell of a lot more if they'd got that marketing idea out there, because I'd never heard that whatsoever.
And I guess that's that sort of dilemma of, look, as you said, looking at the box, you have no idea what it's about.
No.
But when you look closer and then you look what's in there and you work out what it actually is, it's so, so clever.
Mm.
Now, it's a group of different artists that's done this, and I don't know whether Martin Wallace came up for that idea or whether the gurus at Asmodee did, but look, totally my hat's off to them. It does look amazing. Now, I mean, not that I want to say that this is not an interesting game, because it's fun. You've got a very interesting bidding mechanism where you're bidding for first player using your resources.
Okay.
So you've got very, very few resources as it is, your adrenaline, your fuel, your bullets, but you use those to bid for first player. Then you get to pick. So you put out four rows of two cards, which are locations. Mm-hmm. Which I said they're playing cards on the back, very cleverly designed. And the first player will get to pick which two locations he's going to go to, because some of them give you stuff.
Yep.
Some of them make you fight lots of zombies. It's quite a cutthroat game. And then you're rolling your dice, you're using your tokens to affect the dice to try and beat the number of zombies. You have yourself and you have some extra meeples that are like your party. And they gradually die off.
That sounds
of
about
course,
right as
you,
well.
Know, you feed them to the zombies, so you don't get fed to the zombies.
Oh, lovely.
And you've all got your own little party. Very cutthroat. As I said, it does have player elimination, and I think this game has probably taken a bit of a hit because of that, because, you know, a lot of people don't like that player elimination.
Yeah, it's few and far between that enjoy that mechanic.
But with this theme, the fact that, you know, you're all little parties trying to stay alive in the zombie apocalypse,
yep,
it does fit perfectly. And because the playtime is only 30 to 60 minutes.
I was about to say that. It says on here 30 to 60 minutes. And if that is actually true, player elimination in that kind of time is not that big a deal.
Yeah.
We talked last week about Secret Hitler, which is a social deduction game. But that is a more heftier social deduction game that is probably between 20 and 50 minutes as well. And that has player elimination as well. So it's not that big a deal as long as it's kind of relatively quick.
No, and I think, you know, something like King of Tokyo, a similar playtime for this. You know, you can get knocked out of that. I don't know. Well, I mean, when we played it, we were all sort of right in it right until the end.
Yep.
But, it is very cutthroat because of that player elimination and because you're battling over those locations. You know, there's a push-your-luck element when you're rolling to shoot the zombies. It's a lot of fun. We laughed and laughed with this. But as I said, the graphic design and the art on it, to me, it's so striking and so different and so unlike anything that's out there. I just really wanted to get that message across about that. If nothing else, stop and have a look at this game.
Yeah, because as you said, I mean, by the way, your description is, it's not like the game is amazing. The game sounds fine, but this idea of somebody in this situation designing a board game, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You could transplant that idea into lots of other things.
Yeah.
Like somebody up on a spaceship that, like, all their crew has been killed, and then they take a deck of cards and try and figure out a game around that just because they're lost in space and they're bored out of their scone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a brilliant
idea. So, you know, look, I wanted to highlight that one because it's not one that I, as I said, that I had heard a lot about. And, I mean, look, yes, you can say, it's another zombie game. But, you know, Martin Wallace has a lot of street cred out there. This is certainly not your typical Martin Wallace. You know, he's much well known for his economic games and heavier games.
Yeah.
But,
He's designed a game or two, just clicking on his name on BGG. He's designed a couple of them.
That's right. But, look, I just wanted to give this a shout-out for that. The presentation was just something that, you know, you won't see in any other games.
Cool.
So I think we're going to come back in a minute,
yep,
and we're going to talk about something that you've been playing.
Indeed we will.
You're with Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, with The Dice Men Cometh. That was Stark Lane with Glass Half Full. And tonight we are proudly supported by Area 52, our friendly local game store. And Leon?
Yes.
It's Thursday today. Do you know what that means?
It's the day before Friday.
Yes, it is. Cool. But at Area 52, it is...
the day before Friday.
Comics Day.
Oh, yes, Comics
Thursday
Day.
Thursday is Comics Day. Now... you know, I'm not a big comics man. I'm a big man, but I'm not a big comics man. Although I do like to read them occasionally, but usually I borrow them off you or Trent.
Yes, I've got a few in the thousands.
Yeah, but what have you been reading, anything in particular lately?
Lately I've been... what did I read the other day that was really good? I read so much that it all kind of goes in
together. Yeah.
No, I've absolutely drawn a blank. I literally read a book every day and I can't remember what I read lately.
Because you're more into the
image,
non-superhero type comics.
I will read superhero comics, yeah, but they're very hard to follow. They're so kind of convoluted and after all these years. But yes, Image Comics is the best comic brand in the world.
Well, and you can get those at Area 52,
and
that's
you certainly
for
can.
Sure.
Get the trades of those, things like your Saga and what like that. There, you will not go wrong.
Now, you might not be able to remember some comics that you've been reading lately, but I bet you remember some games you've been playing.
Well, of course I have, because I actually wrote those down. Because otherwise I probably wouldn't remember, because I have issues with the old memory.
Oh,
so I'm going to tell you about another game that we're going to lie and say we've been playing lately, but we actually played it at BorderCon, and has since become rather a hit, I'd say, in the little old hobby.
Yes.
And that is Century Spice Road by Plan B Games. So it's a 2-5 player light strategy game. It's designed by Emerson Matsuchi,
yeah,
who is the designer of Spectre Ops and the upcoming Crossfire, which is set in that same universe.
Yes.
Because I thought, well, he's done something else, but I can't remember. And I saw that and went, well, those games are not alike in the slightest, but that's interesting that he's done that, so that's cool. So he's the first in a series of games that explores the history of each century, with the spice trading as the theme for the first installment. So in Century, so the series is going to be called Century something else, but this first one is called Century Spice Road. Players are caravan leaders who travel the famed Silk Road that goes across most of Asia, Africa, and Europe from the 15th to 17th century to deliver spices to the far reaches of the continent for fame and glory. Sound like fun?
Always. I love myself a bit of spice.
Well, it is kind of, yeah, it's the trading in the Mediterranean, but not so much the Mediterranean, just trading around about your Eurasia-y type place. So it's a relatively simple game. Everyone starts the game off with two cards in their hand, and those cards will do things. One of the cards will give you two of the little yellow cubes, which represent turmeric in this game.
Oh.
There are four different cubes. There's turmeric is the yellow, there's saffron, which is red, there's cardamom, which is green, and cinnamon, which is brown.
Mm.
And they actually go up in level. So, like, the most rarest one is your cinnamon, which is brown, which I think is funny in this day and age. That's the rarest one, and saffron is the second most common one.
Wow.
Which is, I guess, back then the way things went down. But nowadays, I think I'd much rather have a big stick of saffron in my hand than cinnamon, because
it costs about $20 for a couple of grams, doesn't it?
Well, saffron is, I think, the most expensive thing in the world,
yeah,
like per gram-wise. But, you know, there you go. Back in the day, that's what you did. So you'd have one card which would give you two turmeric cubes. So to get you started on the whole spicing, to get you some free cubes. And then you have another card which allows you to upgrade two of the cubes you have. So you can turn your turmeric into your saffron. Or if you had two saffrons, you could turn them into your cardamom and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And you do that because later on you need to get different colours to do different cards. So what you will do on your turn is one of four things. You establish a trade route by taking one of the market cards in the row that's in the middle of the table. The first one is free, so you don't have to do anything. Every other card after that, if you want to take it, you have to put a different coloured cube on them down the chain to get to where you want to go. So it's kind of like a lot of those mechanics, like Small World has that. Like you've got to put a coin down if you want to take it further and further and further. But the first one in that chain is always free. And to pick up those cards, you then put them in your hand, because it's kind of a light hand management type thing. And they will do different things, like they will give you more spices, or you'll be able to upgrade more, or you'll be able to a lot of them turn, say, two of this into three of this, that kind of thing, to give you the different combinations that you need.
You're trying to build a cube advancement engine, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much, with the hand management system. And then there's also make a trade or harvest spices, which is, as I said, it's playing a card. So using one of those cards you've then picked up. Fulfilling a demand, which is how you get victory points, because that's how you win every game, by getting victory points. So fulfilling a demand is you see a card up the top that says you need three of this colour, two of that colour to get this card, and you get 12 victory points. You claim that card by getting rid of the stuff from your little spice wagon, and you claim them. And the cards in the two first slots there have a gold and a silver coin on them. So if you get those ones, you actually get some extra victory points at the end of it.
Yes.
So three for gold and I think one for silver. Or you can rest, which is taking all the cards that you've played and put them back into your hand, because that's the way you get it. Otherwise, you end up with no cards in your hand. You just keep on building that little engine and moving back and forth. The game triggers when one person has claimed their fifth victory point card, and then you finish off the round, and then you add up all the victory points you have from the cards, the coins, and any spices you have left are worth one that aren't your basic turmeric, because apparently turmeric's just garbage in the Spice Road world. I mean, people kind of want it, but they're just like, no, I'd rather cardamom for all the stuff you use cardamom for, which is...
Curries,
yes. Yeah. And cinnamon, which is making nice donuts. And saffron, which is also curries.
Yes.
So there you go. That's what you do. And that is pretty much the brunt of the game.
Now, I also played this at BorderCon, and I had a lot of fun with it. Might have even played it twice.
I think so. It's not
the same group, but it does play quite quickly.
Well, that's the thing. It's the best thing to say about this. As soon as you start playing it and explain the rules and everyone starts playing it, straight away they'll go, this is Splendor.
So I was going to say, it's had a lot of comparisons to Splendor, hasn't it?
It is not nearly... Not identical is a strong word, but it's very, very similar. But it plays a lot quicker. It is a lot kind of like Speed Splendor.
I would go so far as to say it's like Speed Splendor for Euro gamers.
Yeah.
Because it has that little sort of engine building.
Yep.
It has a little bit of deck building because those cards are going into your hand.
Yeah, and then back and forth.
Well, it's hand building, I guess, but then you're playing out your hand one at a time and then picking it back up again. Much like what is it? A Lewis and Clark?
Yeah.
How you get cards, you play them down, and when you run out of cards you basically or it's that strategic decision of, am I going to play them all or am I going to get them back in my hand and then do something else?
Yep.
But, yeah, it plays really quickly. And I have seen quite a few people saying, you know what, this has replaced Splendor for me.
Yep, which may change with the new expansion that's come out for Splendor, which makes Splendor a more – and it's a four-module expansion, I believe, which makes that a little bit more meatier. So that might kind of take the reins back from Century.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to say.
Now, did you see, and when this first happened, I was scratching my head. Because I did see that, you know, this was the first of a trilogy.
Yes.
But now they've also bought out the Golem version.
Yes, they did.
Obviously, I'm guessing for all those people who just love a pasted-on fantasy theme.
Basically, that is exactly what it is. It's called the Golem Edition, and instead of spices, you're trading in crystals in, like, a fantasy-style world. And, I'm trying to find research into why they did it. All it kind of said everywhere was just, like, we've heard what you've said, and we're going to do it. We're going to give you the Golem theme, which I think people were specifically probably saying, oh, the theme's a bit bland, I'd rather a fantasy or a sci-fi or something, and they've gone, yeah. I don't think anyone was specifically going, well, there's no golems in this game, what's up with that? I expect more golems in my spice games. But yeah, so that's kind of what's on the horizon. I don't know if it's a special edition thing or not, or if it's actually coming out for full retail. The reason I say that is because I hadn't bought Century Spice Road yet,
yes.
And then I saw the golem theme and went, yes, I am one of those people that likes me fantasy more than me trading games. So I probably would get the Golem one over the other edition, but I don't know if it's actually coming out for full retail.
Yeah, because I saw something about that it might have been something to do with the 50th anniversary of Gen Con.
Yeah, so I know it was released there in a small number. I don't know if it's coming to full retail. But either way, and also with this game, it's sad that it isn't in the base box. There's actually a playmat you can get with this game.
Oh.
For both the Golem Edition and the normal one. And you look at the playmat, it's a really nice playmat.
Oh, I loved me a playmat.
And it's one of those things that you kind of go, why would this not be in the base game? I know why, because it would make it like $30 more expensive.
And because it is quite a small box, isn't it? It is really one of those.
Yeah, and it's got four little containers for your spices. Yeah. And then it is just like two decks of cards. That is basically what the game is.
Yeah.
The games, the cards that you buy, the cards you're trying to get for victory points, and your decks are cute. But the playmat has cool little areas where you put them and nice art. The art in the game, the base game, is by an artist called Ferdinand Suarez, which I must say I don't know much about, but apparently is quite a famous, well-known type of artist.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool. So, yeah, so it's a shame you don't get those spice... playmats with it, but there you go.
And so the second and third ones, yes. Century Eastern Wonders and Century A New World.
Yep.
Have you heard much about those? I don't know how far away they are.
One of them's coming out next year. The other one's coming out in 2019. So they're all a year apart. And the second one in the line is going to be, I had it written down somewhere and now I can't find it. The second one is more of a pickup and delivery style game.
Ah.
And the third one is more of a worker placement-y style game. But there's also going to be something in it where you can use different rules and different components from the games in the other versions of the trilogy. Kind of similar to the North Sea trilogy when they had that rune expansion where you could play through the trilogy and add the runes you collected from one game to the next one. I believe it's like that, or it is just flat out you can use the bits from this game into that or that kind of thing to make those games. Almost like adding an expansion to another game just because you already have the base game already, which is quite clever, really, and no one's really thought about doing that.
Well, I wonder if you're going to be able to take your golems to the new world.
That's a very good question. I don't know. I would like to know a bit more clarification on whether that golem one's coming out. Because if not, I'm going to have to buy this game anyway. Because, yes, the cat's out of the bag. This game is quite good, mainly because I like Splendor. And the game is very, very similar to Splendor, but it plays a little bit quicker. So it's a kind of game you could have them both in your collection. You probably wouldn't need to unless you're someone like me that just has shelves and shelves of them for the hell of it. But, yeah, I definitely recommend playing it. And it is quite readily available at the moment. There are a lot of people out there with copies of it.
Yeah, well, it certainly had a lot of people saying good things about it. So check that one out, Century Spice Road. Now, after the break, we're going to come back and talk about Kickstarter, but also our competition where we're giving away not one, not three, but two copies of King's Road and one copy of Medici the Card Game from Grail Games. We'll come back and do that shortly, I think.
Indeed. That was the group Bitumen with the song Honey Hunter on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh this week brought to you by Area 52. And now I've had some time to think, Mark. The books that I have been reading lately, thanks to my Amazon wishlist, which is pretty much just the list I have reminding me of what I should buy from Area 52. God bless them, even though I never send them any money, is Killer Be Killed, which is a new book by Ed Brubaker, who is arguably one of the best writers in the world, whether it is comic books or otherwise.
He wrote some of my very favourite Captain America comics.
Yes, the Captain America run where Bucky Barnes as Captain America is absolutely perfect, as well as another book called Descender, which is by another brilliant writer, Jeff Lemire. I've been cracking into that of late, one for the sci-fi folks out there. So that's what I've been reading of late.
And you can get those from Area 52, I'm sure.
You certainly can. Now, Markety Mark, how are we going to spend our money for a game we will possibly maybe receive in a year or so?
Well, I think we might look to a certain website called Kickstarter.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, there's always a lot of stuff happening there.
Whether it's positive or not, things are happening.
Well, look, this week, again, I've got some Australian Kickstarters and then some un-Australian. It's un-Australian, bloody hell!
These bloody un-Australian Kickstarters.
Some Kickstarters from outside Australia. Now, first, of course, we need to mention our very good friends, Grail Games, and you may have heard an ad in our podcast for Stevenson's Rocket. Now, this is considered to be one of the good Dr. Reiner Knizia's best games. However, unlike some of his other big hits, Tigris and Euphrates, Medici, of course, which Grail Games reprinted, and Lost Cities, Samurai, this one has never been reprinted since 1999.
Really?
So 18 years on, this game is still inside the Board Game Geek top 1,000. Now, given that close to 1,000 games come out a year, particularly in these last few years, the fact that it has stayed inside the top 1,000 18 years later clearly says it's got some goods there.
It's got some legs or some rockets.
That's the one. So, of course, it's about trains. It's about buying shares in trains. It has some similarities to Railways of the World and the Steam and Age of Steam, and even getting towards your sort of 18XX type heavier rail games.
Mm.
But being the good doctor, of course, you know, it melds a whole bunch of things together. So, look, it's funded. They've raised 58,000 when they were only going for 20. So it's almost close to 300% funded.
And that original 20 they knocked off in, what was it, a day or two?
I think it was inside the day, first day.
Which is, you know, basically says, yes, people remember this game. Yes, there's still a market. People see that Grail Games and they go, well, I'm buying that, and then actually look at what the game's about.
And look, you know, of course it's been updated for modern times. It's got beautiful art by Vincent Dutray, who, of course, has illustrated games like I mentioned Lewis and Clark before.
Yeah.
So he's done that, and also he did Grail Games' version of Medici.
Yeah.
So, you know, some sweet art there. Looks very modern.
He's up there with Mr. O'Toole as one of the premier artists kicking around these days.
Particularly, you know, he's been doing a lot lately, that's for sure. So check that one out. Still got 15 days to go. You can still get on that. And you can also order the, what are those other ones? Kashgar?
Yep.
King's Road.
Yep.
You can order those with your copy of Stevenson's Rocket if you haven't got your pre-orders on the Grail Games website. So,
and you're not lucky enough to win one in our competition.
Well, you could always try, but hey, indeed, you can't all win. So that's Stevenson's Rocket by Grail Games. Now, another Aussie one, Dirty Rotten Squirrels by Motion Foundry.
So okey-dokey.
This is a simple little card game about protecting your nuts, Leon, of course, because that's what squirrels are all about.
Yeah.
Motion Foundry. Now, you pretty much can tell straight away when you look at this game.
Uh-huh.
Motion Foundry is an animation and illustration company.
Yes, they are.
This is their first game, because when you look at the cards, it's very much your sort of digitized, fun, puppety, 3D art.
Yep.
I don't know that there's a lot of depth to the card game.
Possibly not.
But, hey, it looks really nice. Now, they do need a bit of help with the funding, because they're after $25,000 and... You know, look, we talked about this a lot in the past. When you're funding a card game,
yeah,
do you really need to raise $25,000, or are you just setting your goals a little bit too high? When Grail were only after $20,000 for a full-on board game, and many card games you see are only after maybe $5,000.
You don't underestimate the value of Australia Post, though, Mark. As somebody that sends board games quite often to people that buy or sell them from me.
Yes, okay.
It's fun.
Well, look, the only reason I'm concerned is they've only raised $1,700 of this $25,000.
Yeah.
And they're just about to hit the halfway mark. So, look, you know, it is an Australian company. It is worth checking it out.
Yep.
As I said, it does look very nice. Not sure about the gameplay, but it's worth having a look.
Indeed.
This next one, I mean, talking about going from the sublime to the ridiculous, World in Flames, the Collector's Edition. Now, when I heard that, I thought, that name is really familiar. And it's not just because Donald Trump has been talking about putting the world in flames lately. But Australian Design Group, they first released this game 1985, Leon.
Wow, that is...
a long time ago.
That is before I was born.
There you go. Oh, God, I feel old now.
2 years before I was born.
That's the year I joined Her Majesty's Australian Service and sailed off the dark, the blue yonder.
So this game is about you, is what you're saying?
No.
Well, so I just saw boats, so I'm assuming.
This game is about not a bit of World War II. Uh-huh. It's about World War II. The whole world.
Wow.
And no surprises, it's just about to break the world record for the biggest board game, as in the biggest board. So the boards cover over 2 square meters.
Yep.
That's a lot of board space. And you literally are playing World War II over the whole world.
Well, it's everywhere that World War II affected. So it's all of Europe, all of Asia, the north of Africa, some of Australia and the islands around Asia. So the US is on the other side of the world not getting affected. Good on them. But yes, that is also the rest of the world.
Yeah, so, you know, so it's been, I guess they've reinvented the game. They've made it much huger. It is your classic chit and counter war game, I must say.
Yeah, it very much looks like your Twilight Struggle type thing.
But, you know, we do know that a lot of people are into these games. And it is a great, you know, Australian Design Group has a fantastic name in the wargaming hobby.
Yep.
It's funded, so they've made 71,000. They were going for 50. And it's only been going for 5 days.
Yeah.
So clearly there is a lot of people out there that have a lot of love for this game.
Yeah.
So if you're into your traditional war games and you like them big, check out World in Flames, the Collector's Edition by Australian Design Group. Now, speaking of, you know, going over the whole world,
yes,
let's spread our wings and go and visit some Kickstarters from outside Australia. Now,
the un-Australian ones.
Yeah, that's right. Now, if I said the name Bezier Games.
Yes.
And I said a social deduction game.
Okay.
Do you think we need any more of those?
Possibly not, but you never know. You never know.
Well, that's right. So Bezier Games have brought out yet another social deduction game called Werebeasts. Because, of course, they've done the One Night Werewolf and the One Night Alien Werewolf Goes to London. There's a whole bunch of different ones.
There is indeed.
This game has Were-nanas, Were-kittens.
Oh, God.
A Were-nado.
Oh,
even has a stretch goal of Were-thulu. And, look, you know, here's an example. These guys were going for $5,000. Now, These guys have got so many backers and followers that know them that, you know, they're always knew they're going to make that. They've already made $31,000. This one's only been going for 4 or 5 days. I love how in the actual video, the guy from Bezier Games, Ted Allspark, says, maybe we've finally jumped the were shark.
Yes,
says it. I think what he didn't say is that they are milking the were lizard on this one for sure.
Oh, I tell you though, there is a tier on here that I just noticed that is called Were Everything. That is $150. I'm guessing that's probably US. That is every single one of their games. So it is Ultimate Werewolf and all the expansions for it, which some of them are not easy to find. Yeah. And then you've got your four different One Nights, plus Were Words, which is what they had not that long ago, and the new Were Beast games. So it's not that bad of a deal, really.
And look, I mean, yes, they've produced a lot of these type of games, but they keep being successful.
Yep.
People keep buying them, and people keep enjoying them.
Yep.
This one has a few different little twists that I couldn't quite get my head around, but supposedly it's different enough to your normal type werewolf games. It plays 3 to 10. So check that one out if you're interested in your social deduction games. That's Were Beasts.
Mm.
Super villains.
Hey,
now, imagine a world where all the superheroes have disappeared.
Oh.
Now, of course, supervillains, they all get on so well that there wouldn't be any fighting between them to control the galaxy, would there?
You wouldn't think so, no.
No, that's right. So, Supervillains, This Galaxy Is Mine by Moroz Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a card game where we're all supervillains trying to take over the galaxy that doesn't have any guardians left. The heroes have mysteriously vanished. No one knows why, and I don't think they even address it in the game. It's one of these. Have you played Mwahahaha?
I have not played
Mwahahaha. You haven't played Mwahahaha?
No, I have not, I'm afraid.
You haven't missed much.
Oh, good to know.
Look, it's one of these very Ameri Trash games.
Yep.
Lots and lots of cards, lots of card interaction. Illuminati, have you played that one?
Yes.
So, same sort of thing. Lots of cards, lots of interactions. You know, very simple rules, but the detail is in the cards.
Yep.
Lots of cards, lots of text. But, you know, again, a lot of people like these games. Mm. So it's already funded again. They've raised 7,500 of the 5,000 they're after, and it's only been going for 2 days.
Yeah.
Still another 28 days to go. So that's Supervillain This Galaxy Is Mine. Check that one out.
Cool.
One I know that Garth has got behind.
Yes.
Now boarding by Tim Fowers, of course, from Paperback and Burgle Brothers. You know, he's just having hit after hit after hit, Tim Fowers, on Kickstarter. So this is a real-time cooperative game of running an airline. And each player is actually a plane in the airline fleet. So it's pick up and deliver. But it sort of has two phases. It has your planning phase where you all work out, okay, I'm going to go here, I'm going to pick up this passenger, I'll drop this passenger here, then you can get this one. And then there's 30 seconds where you all do these actions, and that's the real-time element. Very, very different to the other games he's produced, although apparently, I didn't realise this, his very first game was Wokstar. Now, I didn't realise Wokstar was Tim Fowers. And, of course, it's a real-time game of managing a Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
So sort of seems like these two games have a bit of a similarity where in the restaurant you're planning your meals, you've got to go shopping, you've got to get them to the table and all that.
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, a bit of similarities. And in fact, what he's done is he's actually re-released Rockstar because it's been
third edition
virtually impossible to get because it sold out so quickly twice. Mm-hmm. And so you can buy Rockstar in this Kickstarter.
Yep.
You can buy Now Boarding, or you can get both of them. So $32 each Australian, yeah, or $60 for both, and only $14 shipping.
Yeah, so $74 to get both of those games. That's
and ship to Australia. That's right.
I know Garth has backed this because who'd have thought a travel agent would think he could run an airline better than the airlines? We might have to get him to bump up his pledge, I reckon, so we can get our hands on Rockstar.
Yeah, well, look, I have heard a lot of good things about Rockstar, but I didn't realise it was Tim Fowers. So yeah, there you go. Now, Leon, we've been all over the world travelling.
Yes.
We're going to get a bit more intimate now.
Okay.
And when I say intimate,
knew this was coming.
I'm talking about
a
relationship where you and your tentacled alien friend, Leon,
yes,
are looking to have a mutually satisfying romantic encounter.
That makes perfect sense.
This game is called Consenticle by Naomi Clark. Very clever, Naomi. And, you know, of course, you'd have to guess it's got your anime-style art, where you and your partner are trying to squirm your way to a mutually satisfying human and alien romance with or without the benefit of verbal communication. Now, you'll need to divine your other's desires, of course, because you want to know what your alien likes and what they don't like. You'll have to play your cards right. Haha, see what they did there? And transform mutual trust into starry-eyed satisfaction. How tingly will your interplanetary liaison feel in the end? And will the encounter leave one or two parties sweaty and exhausted?
Oh, God.
So this is a two-player game, and I think I've probably said enough about it, but it's been going, it's one of those double-length Kickstarter campaigns, so it's going for the 60 days.
Yes.
It's still got 32 days to go, and it's about, if my maths is correct, about two-thirds funded.
Okay.
22,000 of 35. Look, it looks interesting, and it's got this little trust mechanic where you have a half a token, and they have half a token, and you put them together like a little love heart, and then that lets you do stuff.
How lovely and tentacly.
But, hey, it's a different theme, that's for sure.
Sure.
Look, a couple more quick ones. The Networks by Formal Ferret Games.
Yes.
I just love the name of that company, and I love their little picture with the ferret with a monocle. So they brought out the Networks.
Yes.
So they now have the Executives expansion. Now, the Networks is in its third print run already. It didn't come out that long ago.
I've wanted to play this game for ages, and it was at BorderCon, and I kept threatening to find someone to teach me to learn the rules, but we kept getting dragged away.
Yeah, so it's about TV networks. So this expansion adds Executives.
Mm.
It adds Season Zero, which is just a new sort of starting setup, apparently. And it adds Moguls.
Ah.
So and not the skiing type, but the ones who own TV networks.
And not the fluffy thing from the Final Fantasy games. They're Moogles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But look, you know, it's only been out for 8 days, so still 22 days to go. They've already raised almost double the $30,000 they were after.
Yeah.
So if you've got the Networks, get onto this one. And if you haven't, I think you can actually back it in this as well.
Of course, I noticed that and went, oh, there's a pledge to get everything, isn't there? And then saw it and then saw the money and went, oh, probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Now, a couple more quick ones. Wanda, the Cult of Barnacle Bay.
Oh, okay.
By Panda Cult Games. It's a family-friendly co-op dungeon crawl with miniatures. Now, look, there's lots of dungeon crawls. There's lots of dungeon crawls with miniatures. I guess there's even now a few family-friendly ones of those. It has your cute anthropomorphic little minis, which they're where the animals are like people.
Yep.
Of course, really beautiful little minis. The art looks quite stunning. Not so sure about the gameplay, but you look, I guess there are so many of these type of games on Kickstarter.
Yep.
If that is an itch that you need to scratch, check out Wanda, the Cult of Barnacle Bay. And finally, Alexandria by Ludi Creations, which is a Finnish company, but they've just started because this is their first game.
Yeah.
Hopefully the game's finished.
I get it.
It
wouldn't be. It's on Kickstarter. It's probably not.
With sweet, sweet art by that man again, Vincent Dutray, you are solving the mystery of how the ancient library of Alexandria, the foundation of almost all knowledge from the ancient world, was mysteriously destroyed And that's why we're so stupid these days.
Yes.
It's cooperative mix of action points, set collection, and one of those time management games where you've got to do things and you have a certain amount of time, and if you use your time, then other people get time. But it each player has an asymmetric character, so you have different powers you can use.
Cool.
And you got to work together and try and stop the library from getting destroyed, or at least save some of the art pieces. As I said, it's beautiful looking. They've already raised 54,000 of the 20,000 they're after. So again, it's well and truly funded.
Cool.
Still only 22 days to go. To me, that is probably one of the ones that does definitely look like it is worth checking out.
Lovely. There's plenty on there.
There is so much. And that's all the stuff that I want to bring to people's attention.
Okay, so I guess I'll probably talk about the one thing on Kickstarter that I've backed at the moment.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll talk about our competition and then we're out of here.
We will be.
So I have backed the most expensive thing I've ever backed on Kickstarter. And that's because it's a gaming table.
A table?
It is the ultimate gaming table that is on Kickstarter at the moment. And the reason I backed it is because, as of most Australians that love the idea of a gaming table, you know that for love nor money, you can't get them for less than like $2,000.
Yeah, because you do see them a bit. There are a lot of, like, seem to be quite a few companies, mostly in America, that are producing these absolutely amazing gaming tables.
Yeah, like you get the Geek Chic type ones, yes, that your Diced Hare and your Will Wheaton and stuff use. They are like $1,500, $1,600 yeah, American.
Wow.
And then if you were to even consider freighting them here, it would be God knows what.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to hire a ship to put it on.
Yes, but this ultimate gaming table, they have specifically found a company in Australia to partner with to get them to Australians. And the table I'm ordering, which is a big 4 foot by 6 foot table, which is huge, with all the trimmings and everything that comes with it, I've got the most expensive one you can possibly get.
Oh, wow.
Delivered to my door for $1,100.
What?
Which is next to nothing, because my wife and I have just been looking in general for tables we could put in our new rumpus room in our new house, and we found no table less than $2,000 that were just a table.
Sorry, $1,100 including shipping?
It is $999.
What?
And then the shipping. Oh, sorry, that is with shipping. It's an extra $100 because I'm getting the slightly bigger table.
Oh, okay.
So, but you can get the 3 foot by 5 foot table, which is still perfectly fine. With shipping, you can get that for $999.
Wow.
And it comes with the sunken table, so you can put the wooden bits on it and just use it as a table, which we will probably end up doing and putting in our dining room, because why the hell not? Your cup holders, the lovely upholstery, your decals that go on the side. You can choose from your Cthulhu theme, your dragon theme, your skull theme, all this kind of craziness. And yes, I've wanted to back one for years, and I finally get the chance, and it's only like 4 or 5 months away. It's supposed to be here January, February.
I just can't get over that price.
I know, $1,100. Like I said, you can't find a normal table for less than that, let alone one of these. So I will keep you updated on that, and I am looking forward. But anyway.
Well, I'm pretty excited because I'm going to get to play on it.
Exactly. We need games to play on this table, Mark. So why don't we give some away for free?
Well, we mentioned Grail Games.
Yes, good friend.
Because, of course, they've got their Stevenson's Rocket campaign on Kickstarter.
Yep.
And we can't give that away because it's not out yet. But what we can give away is two copies of King's Road.
Yes.
And one copy of Medici, the card game, both featuring awesome art by that guy we talked about at least three times on the show so far, Vincent Dutrail.
Oh, he's been all over the shop tonight.
And Leon,
yes,
how do you enter this competition?
Well, what you've got to do is you've got to very simply tell us a board game that you've played, the universe that you would like to be the king or queen of for a day. It could be a post-apocalyptic game where you want to be the king of that wasteland just for a day. You probably wouldn't want to stick around for too long. Or perhaps a more fun game where, you know, you get to rule a lovely little kingdom, but only for a day. And what you're going to do is you're going to send it to us. You can send it via our Twitter. You can send it via our email, which is dicemencometh@gmail.com. Or probably the easiest way, and the way we interact with most of you via Facebook, is to send us a private message on Facebook, and we will get that to you. I believe next week is the final week that we will draw that, so get them in and we can send them out to you.
This is your last chance.
Wherever you are, we will send it out to you if you win.
So thank you so much for joining us again for episode 180, The Dice Men Cometh, here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, proudly presented by Area 52. Thank you, Leon, and we'll see them next week.
Indeed we shall.
Bye. Bye.
This has been another episode of The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au. And find us online at thedicemencometh.com.